This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is catastrophic damage.
A utility spokesman in Maryland a day after powerful thunderstorms swept up the East Coast from Alabama to New York. At least two people were killed, one by a falling tree, the other by a lightning strike. Correspondent Meg Oliver is in Whitehall, Maryland.
The cleanup is just beginning. There is some good news. It seems as if the travel disruptions are starting to get back to normal, and the power outages have reduced significantly along the East Coast to around 350,000.
Almost 1,300 flights in the U.S. are delayed today. More than 330 have been canceled. Voters in Ohio are going to the polls in a special election that could make the state constitution more difficult to amend. CBS's Caitlin Huey Byrne says the issue is abortion.
Under current law, changing the Ohio Constitution requires support from a simple majority, 50% plus one. But the Republican-led legislature set up an August special election to raise that threshold to 60%, all with the issue of abortion in mind.
Thousands of city workers have begun a one-day strike in Los Angeles. It's expected to close animal shelters, at least some swimming pools, and delay trash pickup. Union rep Gilda Valdez.
We put all of our energy into our jobs every day. We come in, we laced up our boots during the pandemic. We do what we have to do to protect our city and make sure that the city runs.
Mayor Bass says emergency police and fire services will still be available today. City summer camps, preschools, and libraries, she says, will open. Another downgrade for U.S. credit. This time, Moody's has cut ratings of about 10 small and mid-sized banks. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It's not just about higher interest rates, which make their business less profitable, but also the potential of a U.S. recession, which Moody's believe will happen in early 2024.
A week ago, Fitch downgraded the U.S. credit rating from a triple to a double A plus. Drive a Ram truck. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says more than a million should be recalled for power steering problems. Officials say they've gotten 380 reports of intermittent or complete loss of steering assistance in 2013 to 2016 Ram 1500 pickups, including three crashes. You can buy yourself a new truck or any car you want if you win tonight's $1.5 billion Mega Millions jackpot. This woman in St. Joseph, Missouri, plunked down a few bucks.
I think it's this high, so why not? Who knows? Roll the dice.
There have been 31 straight mega drawings now without a winner. Dow futures off 236. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm getting vaccinated.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. He's being charged with homicide and two counts of sexual assault. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. Hearings will continue this morning after four witnesses took the stand yesterday. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least tomorrow, the earliest day that some of the witnesses will be able to appear in court. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that today will be hot, highs in the mid to upper 80s, but rain chances are on the way tomorrow and the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features endorse the scales of justice, but not carry by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Tuesday morning, we got 67 degrees in Amory, and Eau Claire has 63 degrees. Let's look at a story now. By the way, I should mention, if you want to join us on the phones, feel free. The phone number, if you have a comment on anything we're discussing today, phone number is 715-388-7155. And in the first hour, we didn't really discuss Donald Trump too much, but let's look at this one story. Now, it does appear that there is some movement going on in the January 6th investigation. I have a story here from USA Today, posted today. And the question is January 6th probe honing in on Rudy Giuliani? Close ally Bernard Kerik was interviewed for 5 hours yesterday. Donald Trump ally Bernard Kerik, a friend of alleged co-conspirator Rudy Giuliani, met Monday with prosecutors in charge of the case that accuses Trump of seeking to overthrow his 2020 election loss, Kerik's lawyer said. The interview dealt largely with Giuliani's actions in what he called an effort to fight voter fraud and what special counsel Jack Smith called an illegal conspiracy to steal the 2020 election from Joe Biden. Now, here's a quote from Rudy Giuliani's attorney. The guy's name is Timothy Parlatore. So he is obviously working for Giuliani. So keep that in mind when you hear what he has to say. He says Bernard Carrick sat with special counsel's office and told them the truth. And I should mention that I may have misspoken, said that Parlatore is Giuliani's attorney, but he's actually Bernard Carrick's attorney. And he said Bernard Carrick sat with special counsel's office and told them the truth, whether people agree with it or not. And even if some of the claims have since been debunked, the unavoidable reality is that the Giuliani team was making a good faith effort to investigate claims of fraud at the time. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's the truth? I don't know. Makes me scratch my head and say, hey, wait a minute. And by the way, the attorney also added, it is unfortunate that Jack Smith didn't wait until finishing his investigation before bringing an indictment based on a false theory and making his own false public statements, end quote. Giuliani, one of the unnamed co-conspirators in the Trump indictment, has also denied wrongdoing. But Carrick's interview by the special counsel team, which his lawyer said lasted nearly 5 hours, suggests that prosecutors are now honing in on Giuliani in their ongoing investigation into the alleged conspiracy to overturn the former president's loss in the 2020 election. Carrick and Giuliani have a long and at times close history of personal ties and political alliances. When he was mayor of New York City, Giuliani tapped Carrick to be his police commissioner, the top law enforcement job in America's largest city, which was still reeling from the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. Before that, Carrick served as commissioner of the New York City Department of Corrections. In 2020, Carrick was pardoned by Trump following convictions for tax fraud and making false statements. After Trump's election loss, Giuliani brought Carrick on board as a top aide in his efforts to investigate allegations of voter fraud and promote, quote, stop the steal, end quote, efforts. The special House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection subpoenaed Carrick and interviewed him at length about his and Giuliani's role in those events. The more than 200-page transcript of Carrick's interview with the committee describes in detail how the former top cop acted as a coordinator for Giuliani's efforts to dig up evidence of election fraud in as many as 7 key swing states, including Georgia. None of those efforts appeared to go anywhere, the House committee later concluded, but with Carrick acting as his investigator, Giuliani pressed election officials in those states and Republican lawmakers in Congress to find such evidence of fraud and then use it to help Trump overturn the election results. In his House committee deposition, Carrick denied any wrongdoing, insisting that he was a staunch believer in the U.S. constitutional system of government and would have never participated in any effort to knowingly promote false claims. Parlatore, the attorney for Carrick, told USA Today prior to Monday that his client was willing to testify to federal investigators as he had already before the House committee. Also, Carrick had already turned over examples of probable case of election fraud to the Justice Department for further investigation in late 2020, Parlatore said. One of Carrick's efforts involved pushing a strategic communications plan for a Giuliani presidential legal defense team, according to his deposition and documents he provided. That plan, according to Carrick and others, was meant to pressure swing state senators and other Republican members of Congress to vote against certifying the 2020 election results. It included issues for them to highlight, including that dead and underage people had voted in large numbers, and that there were widespread instances of fraudulent ballots being submitted. Last week's federal indictment of Trump lists six alleged co-conspirators who it says were critical cogs in Trump's multi-pronged effort to overthrow the election. None of them are named, but Giuliani has all but acknowledged that he is co-conspirator number one, whom Smith says played a central role in the conspiracy. The indictment, for instance, describes co-conspirator number one as, quote, an attorney who was willing to spread knowingly false claims and pursue strategies that the defendant's 2020 re-election campaign attorneys would not. The day after Trump's November 3rd, 2020 election loss, quote, the defendant turned to co-conspirator one, whom he announced would spearhead his efforts going forward to challenge the election results. From that point on, the defendant and his co-conspirators executed a strategy to use knowing deceit in the targeted states to impair, obstruct, and defeat the federal government function, including as described below. And according to information gathered in both the House and Justice Department investigations, Carrick worked closely with Giuliani on key elements of that alleged plot. So Carrick met with the investigators yesterday for 5 hours. What do you think he had to say? You think he was spilling the beans on Rudy Giuliani's involvement in the effort to overturn the election? Hey, up next, we're going to get to a story about Mark Meadows. A lot of people saying that he is the key in the whole investigation and that he is the one who's been talking and telling investigators exactly what happened. And for good reason, he's the guy who was in the White House doing Trump's bidding, right, as his chief of staff. So we'll get to that story right after we take a quick break. This is a short one, so stick around. 17 minutes after 9, you're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
You want me to stay? I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt. That's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin Klein. Reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight. How could I ever be late when you're my woman taking up my time?
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine with highs in the low to mid 80s. Mostly clear tonight, 61. Some afternoon storms possible tomorrow, otherwise mostly sunny and 83. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, 57. On Thursday, mostly sunny, a high near 79. More showers and storms Thursday night.
It's 67 right now.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Well, the first days are the hardest days, don't you worry anymore. When life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door. Think this through with me. Let me know your mind. What I want to know is, are you kind? It's a buck dancer's choice, my friends. Better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, oh, what I want to know. Will you come with me? Goddamn, will I declare? You seen the like? Their walls are built of cannonballs. Their motto is, don't tread on me. Come hear Uncle John's band playing to the tide. Come with me or go alone. He's come to take his children home. Same story the crow told me, it's the only one he knows. Like the morning sun you come, and like the wind you go. Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait. Whoa, oh, what I want to know, where does the time go? In a silver mine, and I call it Beggar's Tomb. I got me a violin, and I beg you, call the tune. Anybody's choice, I can hear your voice. Whoa, oh, what I want to know. Oh, how does the song go?
How does the song go? 24 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Music from Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead on a Tuesday morning. And outside, 66 degrees in Hayward right now, up to 75 in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing the investigations that our former president is facing, and how many people think that Mark Meadows, former chief of staff for the former president, is kind of leading the investigation, or at least providing lots of information. Of course, as the chief of staff, he's the gatekeeper, right? He's the guy that's doing the bidding of the president. I have a piece here from Raw Story, published just today. Less than an hour ago. It says the Georgia indictment will show if Mark Meadows is Trump's number one traitor. And number one traitor in parentheses. And that's according to a legal expert, it says here in the headline. This piece by Adam Nichols. And as you probably know, as you probably heard, the indictment is supposed to be coming down pretty soon from Fani Willis down in Georgia. It says here the imminently expected indictment of Donald Trump in Fulton County, Georgia, is likely to put to rest rumors that have been swirling around the many investigations of the former president for weeks, a legal expert wrote on Tuesday, that's today. It will clarify if his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has flipped. Meadows, who has been silent since before Jack Smith's indictments came down, was absent from the special counsel's election interference case that was revealed last week. That was considered suspicious, as Meadows has been called the gatekeeper on January 6th, Trump's right-hand man who is thought to have in-depth knowledge of what happened. And Greg Barak, a professor of criminal justice at Eastern Michigan University and the author of the book Criminology on Trump, wrote in Salon that if Meadows is absent, in Willis's indictment, conclusions can be drawn. Quote, that's why the first thing I look for in the Georgia indictment is whether or not Meadows is listed as an indicted or unindicted co-conspirator, he wrote. Will he be left out of the document altogether as he was in Smith's second Trump indictment? If that happens again in the Georgia charges, it is safe to assume that Meadows will soon become Trump's number one traitor, ahead of even former Vice President Mike Pence and Michael Cohen, Trump's longtime personal attorney. That would strongly suggest that Meadows will be a star witness for the prosecution, both in Washington and in Atlanta. Willis is expected to bring racketeering charges against Trump based on law involving influencing witnesses and computer trespassing, specifically hacking into data from voting machines. Quote, this is, of course, a familiar scenario in classic racketeering cases regarding organized crime conspiracies, wrote Barak. It is often the consigliere who brings down the boss, but never before he has the crime boss in such a case been, but never before has the crime boss in such a case been a former president of the United States. So they're saying that's the big key now. Will Mark Meadows be named in the Georgia indictment? If not, then he's probably the guy that is singing the most. 9:28, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. People along the East Coast are picking up the pieces after deadly thunderstorms. Todd Sexton's parents survived when a tree fell through their living room in Harford County, Maryland.
Probably would have been killed. Somebody was looking out for them, and I'm glad they did.
One person was killed by a falling tree, another by a lightning strike. Ohioans voting in a special election that could have a direct bearing on a November ballot question. Secretary of State Frank LaRose with CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
We don't want to see a really radical abortion amendment put in our state constitution.
But is changing the rules at this state in the game, isn't that stacking the deck?
No.
More unsettling financial news. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Following last week's downgrade by Fitch of the United States, this week we're hearing from Moody's, which cut the ratings of a number of U.S. banks and put some larger banks on a downgrade watch.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. He's being charged with homicide and two counts of sexual assault. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. Hearings will continue this morning after four witnesses took the stand yesterday. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least tomorrow, the earliest day that some of the witnesses will be able to appear in court. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that today will be hot, highs in the mid to upper 80s, but rain chances are on the way tomorrow and the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
strangest life I've ever known. Yes, Music from the Doors on a Tuesday morning. 9:35, almost 9:36 right now. We've got 72 degrees in La Crosse and 68 degrees in Eau Claire. Looking for highs today in the low to mid 80s with sunshine in most places. And during this hour on the Stu Daniels Show, we've been discussing the investigations into the former president. And one of the things I wonder sometimes is, why do so many Republicans, conservatives, feel the need to cheer against the United States? There's a headline here from the New York Times that says, Trump cheers the defeat of Rapinoe and the U.S. women's soccer team. The former president taunted a United States team after its defeat on the world stage. And by the way, did you get to see any of the soccer matches? Have you been following the Women's World Cup soccer tournament at all? Well, it says here in the New York Times, this was posted yesterday by Maggie Astor. It says, when the United States lost to Sweden in the Women's World Cup on Sunday, many American viewers saw it as a painful collapse on the grandest stage, the sort of agonizing moment that happens in sports. For former President Donald Trump, it was a sign of national decline. The loss was, quote, fully emblematic of what is happening to our once great nation under crooked Joe Biden. Mr. Trump wrote on his social media platform, many of our players were openly hostile to America. No other country behaved in such a manner or even close, he added. Woke equals failure. Nice shot, Megan. The USA is going to hell. MAGA, M-A-G-A, make America great again, right? That taunt was an extension of a long-standing feud between Trump and Megan Rapinoe, the retiring soccer star who once refused to visit the Trump White House and whose missed penalty kick contributed to the team's loss. After the game, Ms. Rapinoe summed up the miss as a sort of sick joke. But it was also a striking example of the unforgiving moment in right-wing politics when a former president will taunt an American team competing on the national stage and relish the agony of its defeat. President Biden, on the other hand, congratulated the team on Twitter. I'm looking forward to seeing how you continue to inspire Americans with your grit and determination on and off the field. Your unwavering support means a lot to us, the team said to its fans on Sunday. Our goal remains the same, to win, end quote. Criticism of the team was common in the online right-wing ecosystem even before its loss. Megyn Kelly, the podcast host, said that Ms. Rapinoe had, quote, poisoned the entire team against the country for which they play, end quote. Ahead of the game, the right-wing activist Brigitte Gabriel wrote late last month, quote, I love America, and that's why I am rooting against the woke U.S. women's national soccer team this year. Ah, so that's the problem. They're woke. Richard Lapchick, the president of the Institute for Sport and Social Justice, drew a parallel between Trump's attack on Ms. Rapinoe and his attacks in 2017 on NFL players who, inspired by Colin Kaepernick, knelt for the national anthem to protest racial inequality and police brutality. After Trump's criticism 6 years ago, quote, what was seemingly a dimming protest movement in the NFL was suddenly reignited so that they had even owners and coaches expressing support, Dr. Lapchick said. I think that his doing this again this week will reinforce the base of athlete activism that I think has grown significantly stronger in the last couple of years, he said. The conservative criticism has been focused on both Ms. Rapinoe's political statements, including her support of gay and transgender rights, which Trump has attacked, and the women's national team's fight for pay equity. Trump and others disparage these stances as woke, the right's catch-all shorthand for progressive views on gender, race, and other issues. A recent article in the Washington Examiner, a conservative publication, accused the women's national soccer team of appearing, quote, far more concerned pushing a woke agenda regarding equal pay for female athletes and the rights of LGBT citizens than they have been with winning games, end quote. Ms. Rapinoe has been a target of the right since at least 2019, when she refused to visit the White House after the United States won the last Women's World Cup. Trump criticized her at the time. She has long been outspoken, and she is among the athletes who have knelt for the national anthem, while anti-woke attacks have reliably stirred the right-wing base. A recent New York Times Siena College poll indicates that they don't reflect most voters' priorities. A minority of the presidential candidates, including former Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, Governor Doug Burgum of North Dakota, and former Representative Will Hurd of Texas, have urged Republicans to focus on concrete matters like inflation. Then again, so has Trump, to a point, quote, I don't like the term woke, he said in Iowa in June, adding, it's just a term they use. Half the people can't even define it. They don't know what it is, end quote. Mary Jo Kane, a professor emerita and founder of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota, suggested that the mere existence of Trump's latest attack was, quote, a reflection of the growth and the power and the significance of a cultural moment of women's sports. The fact that the former president of the United States is commenting on women's sports, nobody used to comment on women's sports, she said. The fact that this has become yet another arena that is culturally contested and commented on is, ironically and unwittingly, a demonstration of the role of women's sports in our society, end quote. So the former president and lots of people on the right attacking the United States women's soccer team as being too woke. I don't know. Seems like if you support equity, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, then all of a sudden you're woke, which evidently now is a disparaging word. So let's see, we have a few minutes here until the next break. Let me give you a little bit of what's, let's see, how much time do we have, Aaron, by the way?
We've got about 3.5 minutes.
All right, let's see. So Chris Christie is out and about these days, and he is evidently naming the Trump insider who he thinks secretly flipped. And as we discussed earlier, it sounds like it's Mark Meadows, especially since he wasn't named in the indictment that came down a couple of days ago. This piece here from HuffPost says, this was posted today. It says, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said Donald Trump should be very worried about a close member of his inner circle from his final year in office. Quote, I've said all along, I think Mark Meadows is already a cooperating witness. Christie, a former U.S. attorney, told CNN's Anderson Cooper on Monday, quote, he has all the looks of a cooperating witness running into coffee shops away from the press, end quote. Meadows was White House chief of staff during much of the final year of Trump's presidency, including the period after the election, the focus of Trump's indictment on federal charges of election obstruction and conspiracy. Christie, who was a member of the Trump inner circle during that period, said the former president should have special reason to be concerned about Meadows, quote, "He was a very involved chief of staff in my experience. He made sure he was in every meeting and every conversation. And we remember there are hundreds of text messages that he turned over to the special counsel that he kept." Christie said that Meadows could deliver the worst testimony against Trump of anyone other than family members. A number of observers have zeroed in on Meadows as someone who may be cooperating with prosecutors, given his months of near silence. That belief was only bolstered by the indictment, which barely mentions Meadows despite his close involvement in White House activity from the time of the 2020 election to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Christie was one of the first prominent Republicans to endorse Trump in 2016 after abandoning his own presidential campaign, and was close to him through much of his presidency, even developing a COVID-19 infection while helping Trump prepare for the 2020 debates. He spent a week in the intensive care unit after getting COVID-19, helping Trump prepare for the debates. Christie has since turned into a Trump critic and is running against him for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. And I have to agree with Chris Christie. I don't say that very often, but it does sound like Mark Meadows is the guy with the information. 9:47, going to take a break. It's a quick one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine with highs in the low to mid 80s. Mostly clear tonight, 61. Some afternoon storms possible tomorrow, otherwise mostly sunny and 83. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, 57. On Thursday, mostly sunny, a high near 79. More showers and storms Thursday night.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Right down at all your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love to see you walk up and down the floor. When you're talking to me, that baby talk, I like it like that. When you talk like that, you knock me dead. Right on my feet. How, 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 how.
That'll get you going on a Tuesday morning. Boom, 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 boom. John Lee Hooker music for you. Hope you're having a good day so far. We got 9:52 right now. 68 degrees in Eau Claire, 72 degrees in Amory, 70 degrees in Hayward. And we've been discussing the investigations this hour, the different investigations going on with our former president. I got a piece here to wrap up the show. This is from the New Republic by Michael Tomasky, posted yesterday. It says, McCarthy, Comer, and Jordan, the all-time congressional clown show. It says here, the last Congress, the 117th, which sat from January 2021 through January of 2023, was controlled by Democrats on both sides of the Capitol. These lawmakers worked in concert with a new Democratic president, so naturally, we witnessed an unusual amount of legislative activity. Want to guess how much? The 117th Congress passed and Joe Biden signed 362 laws. Now, it practically goes without saying that a hefty majority of these were small bore matters, relatively inconsequential in policy terms. There were the proverbial post office renamings, the Harlem Hellfighters Congressional Gold Medal Act, the Big Cat Public Safety Act, and the like. Still, an unusually high number of them were very consequential indeed, like the American Rescue Plan, the Hard Infrastructure Bill, the Chips and Science Act, and several more. They were aimed at helping people and businesses through the pandemic, solving aching public needs, creating jobs, reshaping industrial policy, and more. Whatever else you want to say about them, these people were earning their paychecks. The 118th Congress, the current one, the one that opened with the clown show where Kevin McCarthy needed 15 ballots to be elected speaker by his own party, has not been quite the hive of productivity that its predecessor was. So far, 7 months into its term, it has passed, and the president has signed 12 bills. They're on track, if they can possibly keep up this scorching pace for the next 17 months, to pass maybe 44, even 45 or 46 bills. And what laws they are. They've renamed a veterans clinic. They've toasted the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps commemorative coin. Oh, but it hasn't all been ceremonial. They've also pressed forward with the racism for which they are so widely and justly known, notably the bill that revoked part of Washington, D.C.'s criminal code. McCarthy called it soft on crime, and Biden quasi-reluctantly signed it to avoid that age-old tag. The only law of any real consequence was the increase in the debt limit, on which the supposedly out-of-it Biden ran circles around the supposedly spry speaker. As far as improving the lives of working and middle-class people, McCarthy's majority has done absolutely nothing. But by God, don't call them the do-nothing Congress. Oh, no, they've done stuff. For example, they've investigated Hunter and Joe Biden over under, sideways, and down. I wonder how many public dollars James Comer and Jim Jordan, respective chairs of the House's Oversight and Judiciary Committees, have spent trying to prove crimes that probably don't exist, but that they insist every week will be pitilessly exposed for all the world to see in just a little while. You'll see. You'll all see. In fact, Democrats, why not tell the world how much they're spending? I'd assume you have access to the basic budgetary materials. How about a Biden goose chase clock, toting up the taxpayer dollars being wasted on this sham? Those two just got more ridiculous every week. Last week, you'll recall, Comer's committee had a closed-door session with yet another star witness, Devin Archer, a former Hunter Biden business partner who was supposedly poised to finally blow the lid off the whole thing. Quote, "The walls are closing in on the Bidens," Comer crowed on Newsmax Monday night. In the end, Archer's testimony, taken that afternoon, released later in the week, did nothing of the sort. Which Comer might have known if he'd even bothered to show up at his own hearing, which he did not do. As for Jordan, Jim Jordan from Ohio, well, his special new deep state committee, or whatever it's called, has been an even bigger abuse of the taxpayer dollar. Just Google Jim Jordan Deep State Committee and look at the headlines. Inside Jim Jordan's disastrous search for a deep state whistleblower. Jordan's weaponization panel is all conclusions, no evidence. Jim Jordan's weaponization committee is misfiring. But hey, don't be too hard on him. He may have other matters on his mind. In late June, the Supreme Court decided that a lawsuit brought by former Ohio State University wrestlers against a team doctor who was found by an investigation to have sexually abused 177 young men from the 1970s to the 1990s can move forward. Jordan was an assistant wrestling coach during part of the period in question. He has always denied any knowledge of the abuse. Two former wrestlers in a complaint to the Supreme Court alleged that Jordan was aware of the behavior of Dr. Koff and did nothing. Oh, we've run out of time. Gotta go. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great day today, and I hope you'll join me again tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. See you then.
So hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.